We're just okay and we play some movies. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host Biggie Size and I'm joined by...
Hi, it's me, Guido.
Oh, hey, Guido. All right, man. I gotta start with this. I know it's been a couple of months, but what about those Oscars?
What about them? They were very quickly forgotten by everybody.
Seriously, that is the truth. I expected a lot more, conversations around it, because like on Twitter and shit, I've been following just movie stuff and reading movie stuff, and it's like after the end, it's like, oh, hey, Nomadland won. It's either, yay, that's great, or, ooh, that sucked, but then the day later, no one gave two shits.
I think people just wanted 2020 to be forgotten. Let's just put it in the past, give the awards out, and then look towards the future.
I like the comment you made after everything was announced. You're like, no, really, these movies should not have even been in the running because most of them weren't even in theaters. If it was just movies that came out in theaters, I forget which movie you said it was. It'd be like The New Mutants and...
Bad Boys Forever.
Bad Boys for Life, that's right. It would just sweep the nominations.
Oh, man. Will Smith would have deserved it. And, well, really, Martin Lawrence. He's been snubbed for so many years. You know, Black Knight is a classic that I hold dear to my heart.
There is nothing I want more in life than for Will Smith's ego to get even more pumped up.
Yeah.
Nothing more. I want that for Christmas.
I feel like his ego he's become humbled over the past few years after getting cucked by Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh boy. Yeah, I agree. His like career slope has been so strange. I mean, the dude's got plenty of cash. Hopefully he's spent it fine. But like him like really trying to push his kids in so many mediums, like with the boy in all the movies and the girl in that one music video, and none of it's really panned out. And then his own films, like that, what was that Gemini Man movie that came out like 2 years ago? It was supposed to be like a big deal, and just it was just like a forgotten immediately.
I think it just goes to say that people, this new generation, Generation Z, the Zoomers, and the millennials to an extent are pretty much just done with like movie action heroes. Because the closest thing that we have that's modern and recent are Marvel people. And I wouldn't even call it, like, you go to see them because they're in Marvel movies. The movies that they make that aren't Marvel movies aren't, like, sweeping box offices. There's not a person, there's not an actor or actress that has the bringing power to the box office like it used to be. There's no Tom Cruise, there's no Will Smith, you know. There's no Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone. Like, I wonder how that came to be.
Such a good point. You know, you bring up an excellent point because it's almost with the Marvel films. And it's such a fascinating, type of film to pick because it's a spectacle. Just like any action movie is, but I agree, you know, the concept of like a Lethal Weapon. Like, you know, cops going around the city solving a crime kind of thing. It's fine. It's been done. But it was really, you know, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover's, like, camaraderie. And even just their own characters and the actors themselves were almost bigger. I mean, there's no better person to pick than people like Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, the films other than, like, T2, you know, are just the film itself is just fantastic. But a lot of the movies they're in, you're really going to see him. Basically be the same character, just in a slightly different situation, beating the shit out of people.
Right. It was totally a new Arnold movie. So we got to go see the new Arnold movie. Not, we got to go see this cool sci-fi movie that, you know, it's got the guy that played Mr. Freeze in it.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I feel like they're almost trying it again. Or maybe they're trying to make another, like, action star with... The oddest person to pick for that role is Tom Holland with the Uncharted film coming out. it's an action kind of role because, you know, if you're familiar with the games, you know, Nathan Drake is very much a pseudo action star in those films, you know, like an Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford's a great, another example of a great action movie person. But it's like, okay, you got the Spider-Man guy going to be running around shooting guns. He's kind of scrawny. The pictures from sets look kind of bad of him, at least, because you see he's trying to replicate this game character. It's like, ooh, are they trying with him to do something there? I don't think it's going to work as well as they hope. I think he works better in the, oh, you know, the more simple roles, maybe a little bit more like the, what's the movie we watched? The Devil Inside Me, The Devil.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Weird ass name.
Yeah, it worked. He was kind of a drifter guy. It worked fine, yeah. But action hero Tom Holland, I don't know. But I agree with you. We don't really have those characters anymore.
The only one I can really think of is The Rock.
Yes.
There's people that will go see a Rock movie. I'm not one
absolutely.
Of them.
Absolutely.
He's not selling tickets to me. Like, I won't go see San Andreas or, you know, shit like that just because The Rock's in it. But there's some people out there that will.
Yeah, he makes
money.
And
he kind of makes the same movies all the time.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. Weird.
Yeah, I agree. It is very weird.
Is it a lack of charisma? Or is it a lack of maybe unique IPs? Because it's all just reboots and shit now in the box office? Like, that was the thing that made all those guys, is it was a new movie. It wasn't, you know, occasionally, you know, Schwarzenegger would play Mr. Freeze, but for the most part, he's, you know, Commando, he's Predator, he's fighting Predator, he's the guy in Eraser and True Lies, and, you know, all original, not franchises, but just original pictures. They aren't rehashed Uncharted, a video game, or, you know, I don't know. Just all this doubling back that Hollywood seems to be doing.
Sure. It may be. That might very well be the case. I think it could also be that the films are starting to eclipse the stars themselves when you're pulling up properties like Marvel, where Disney's like, you know, we're making this universe, so really one person doesn't really matter. It's almost, you know, the influence of someone, no-name actor from another movie is influencing a big-name actor in the other movie, and you just kind of place your loyalty on which one you liked more. It's not, you don't really have this. I mean, the only person we had was Robert Downey Jr. just because he kicked the whole thing off, and arguably, I mean, he's not necessarily a great actor either, and he was early parts of 2000s, you didn't know who in the hell he was. He showed up in just random films every now and then. Now,
and every movie that he's made since he's been Iron Man has been pretty much a flop.
Yeah. The Judge is the only one I can remember that was okay.
Man, I don't even
mainly,
know.
I think it was Robert Redford was his dad in that. I liked him. He did a better job than Robert Downey. But yeah, I agree. I think, and it probably works really well for studios like Disney and such, because they can get these properties in with these actors they're not paying near as much as they paid Downey. I'm sure Tom Holland, I'm sure he did fine for himself, but he's not making nothing like Chris Evans and all them. And they're nothing compared to if they got Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks are in that role, you know, right, the kind of money they would expect to see on top of points or whatever they call it. So I think for Disney and them, it works great. No nothing actors who are just competent enough to do the roles they're handed, and they're just raking in cash hand over foot. It's fascinating. It really is neat. You know, you mentioned about like what kid, I'd say kids, but whoever, you know, in the market right now, probably younger than us, are, you know, they're looking for names in these films. I'd almost say YouTubers, honestly, because I
just made me shudder.
Oh, I agree, but I feel like it's really the case. Like, I've heard your daughter talk about, you know, people that she's watching and stuff. And it's just YouTubers, it sounds like, mostly. I asked my own little niece. She's about 14, I think. YouTubers and that BTS people. But she watches them on YouTube. Or if it's not them, it's YouTubers. And, like, could that really be? And we already hear of, like, Ninja. He's wanting to get into film be a film star or whatever. Who knows what will happen there? And I'll talk about another movie here in a bit. Maybe it's a pretty good segue, where it kind of focused on some of those YouTubers and that kind of like grasp that they have on society and stuff like that, and even had some bigger YouTubers in the film itself. It was kind of neat. The film was crap, but it was at least something. But I kind of think that might be it.
I don't know if I want to live in that cinema world.
Yeah.
I'd rather have people that are, you know, they may be Arnold Schwarzenegger, not the best actor, but, you know, built like a brick shit house and committed to making these specific movies, rather than a YouTuber that gets paid a lot of money to take a break from YouTubing and make a movie, you know? I want someone that's committed to being an actor.
Sure.
Actor first, and YouTuber isn't even on the list at all. It's not second or third. Like, YouTuber is such a step down in my mind from like a feature film actor.
Yeah.
It's D-list.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's where this mess of, you know, if someone's wanting to do a film, they're like, well, we could get, you know, PewDiePie or whoever in it. Like, yeah, he's probably not that great of an actor, but he's got such a huge following. Maybe not so much now anymore, but at his height, such this massive following that we almost have a secure base that we're going to make something off of. He may not be very good. Maybe we'll get some extra people in, you know, the cover, the rest of our costs, but, or who knows, it could just be massive and, you know, have this worldwide appeal because he's at least at his height, the biggest YouTuber ever. I don't know. I mean, you could see, like, at least not necessarily in the creative department, but in like the marketing and the producing people who, you know, actually have money on the line, they're like, ooh, this could work. And I can't say that's much different than a Sylvester Stallone, who he's definitely not known for his acting. He's known as the guy who's way bigger than everyone else that looks really cool in action movies. And, you know, I could almost say the same thing for PewDiePie. Like, yeah, his acting is probably not going to be very good. He's this scrawny little guy, but he's known for being really loud and random. So maybe we can make a really good movie around that.
Sure.
I don't know. I agree. But then again, I probably would have said the same thing about a bodybuilder. Like, oh my God, I don't want to see a bodybuilder out acting, or I don't want to necessarily see a wrestler out acting, but some of them can do it. The Rock's not bad. You know, he's pretty good. And
he knows his niche, you know, he knows his genre and he sticks to it, which he should. You know, maybe he'll take, I don't know if he's ever done like a dramatic role. That'd be funny to see.
It would be.
Like, how could you ever take him seriously?
Right. We've talked about this movie before, but you could almost imagine him being in like a film that maybe would fit his wheelhouse. That'd be like The Wrestler, but he could not pull off that role like Mickey Rooney could.
Oh no, he's way too clean. He's too fresh and not broken enough for me. You know, it's got to be Mickey Rooney.
Right, exactly. But yeah, dude, that's a great question, man. It's something else. Well, I will kind of segue to that discussion. We were talking about YouTubers. I did watch a very interestingly bad movie that had one crazy bright spot in it that shined so bright and was the only reason I held on for dear life watching it and not just shut it off completely. It's a movie called Mainstream. The director where are all these Coppola kids, where are they all coming from? I swear, this is Sia, I think Gia or Sia Coppola, the granddaughter of Francis Ford Coppola. I guess they just all think that, like, you know, directing and writing is just genetic, you know, that, you know, it just is passed down. You know, they are destined for greatness, but we see Sofia Coppola barely can make a competent movie. Lost in Translation's the only thing she's known for, and it was just all right. This movie stars Andrew Garfield, and stars some other chick and guy that are just awful, just so bad.
Oh boy!
Yeah, it's bad. The film is about this girl. She wants to make films and stuff. She's living in Hollywood, and she comes across Andrew Garfield just slinging some hors d'oeuvres, like these appetizers to people, and starts talking with him. And he's just very charismatic. He's crazy. And she records him. The film, the YouTube video gets popular. They start making a channel, get swept up in the marketing and the, you know, all the groups that are in the YouTube industry that like to promote. And he kind of becomes a bit of a psychopath and just is crazy. He has some major events that happen during the film that causes some very unfortunate things to happen. And the film has a very gross feeling ending. But honestly, if they ended it any other way, it would have been even more of a slap in the face. I don't want to go much further. If any of that sounds interesting to you, I'd say watch it for Andrew Garfield. The poor guy, I feel like, has gotten, maybe still has, so much hate from the Spider-Man films, which I thought out of the films, he was the best part. He was not bad.
He's a good actor.
He is. He's great. Hacksaw Ridge was awesome. He did a great job in that movie. He is just a fine actor. He's in Social Network. We forget about him. He was the best friend. He's great in that too. And he is awesome in this. And I'm pretty sure just the way he acted in it, that it was all he came out the top of his head. Maybe some of it was written, but compared to the stuff that I know was written, which the actress and the other dumb fuck in it was just reading from the script, he had to come up with his own stuff because it was miles ahead better. I mean, if you want to see him get up on a table that has Johnny Knoxville, Jake Paul, and some other YouTube people I have don't know who they are, and like take his pants off and shit in his hand to make a point, this is the film for you, because that was a great scene. But it is, it's cringy. And that's where we were talking about our YouTube discussion where, you know, it could be just absolutely awful to have YouTube people starting in films. And that's, I think, around the 45-minute point, we kind of get a taste of that. And it's just so bad. The film just shifts. It doesn't know what it wants to be. It kind of starts as like this. It starts as this stupid ass, got it from Windows Movie Maker title screen, where it's like that old timey with the white outlines and the black background and that text, you know, that's just so overdone. Mm-hmm. And it just looks awful. It starts as like this slow, almost some shots almost look like from La La Land in the bar, some of the best parts of the film, where it's just like this somber, you know, trying to realize who you are and what you want kind of thing. And then it goes to like this teen spirit, 90s, hey, fuck the world, let's do things we want to do. Then it goes into YouTube poop. And then turns back around to social commentary of why phones are ruining people.
This movie sounds horrible, Biggie.
It's bad. It's so bad. I'm happy I watched it because I'm still want to stay on the Andrew Garfield train and it just helped me chug further down the track. Really wanting to root for him. But boy, oh boy, what a bad movie. The Coppolas need to stop. Your dad was good, but he wasn't that good. I mean, arguably, he made three really good movies. And then he made that movie with Robin Williams. So just always remember that movie that, you know, even the good ones take a major shit sometimes. And, you know, maybe find something else you're better at.
At what point does Hollywood give up on Andrew Garfield? Because I feel like he's had a lot of chances.
He has. You know.
He's been Spider-Man. He's been, well, I guess this is kind of a show of his decline, and he's in this weird YouTube movie. But he was in a Scorsese film, the forgotten Scorsese film, Silence, which was pretty critically, applauded. Maybe not you know, audience, the audience didn't care much for it because it's very long and boring. he got nominated for an Oscar in Hacksaw Ridge. The movie itself was nominated for Best Picture. And then this is like, now he's in some YouTube straight to streaming service movie that's like, what, a 4 on IMDb right now? Like, are they starting to give up?
Yeah.
And is it him? I think it might be him, man.
I don't know.
For some reason, the audience doesn't buy it. They don't buy it, man. Garfield, yeah. Go back to hating Mondays because you're out, baby.
Yikes. Ouch.
Go fucking eat some lasagna. Tell John he's a dipshit and lay on the couch. You know, maybe start a YouTube channel yourself, Garfield.
Damn. Well, right, Guido, what have you been watching lately?
Let's see. I watched recently a movie that's been streaming for a while, and it's another, you know, another acclaimed actor that's been going the Neeson route, and that's Denzel Washington in The Little Things.
Ooh.
You know, he's been on this tear of like, I don't know. Well, they're not. Well, this one wasn't an action movie, but he's been in, you know, what are they called? Equalizer and stuff like that. Just forgettable kind of throwaway action movies. And then he's in this one where he plays a cop, a disgraced cop, I suppose, or he leaves the LA County force and goes to some backwater woods. You don't know why at the beginning. And he has to go. They have a murder. They catch a case in his backwoods area, and they have to go pick up some evidence in L.A. So they send him, and he gets wrapped up in a big city L.A. case with Rami Malek, aka Freddie. What's his name? I was about to say Prince Jr., but the Queen singer, Freddie Mercury.
Oh yes.
And he gets wrapped up in this case with him, trying to find the killer because their cases are related. And there's me even saying it is a spoiler, but there is a twist. And it's pretty apparent what the twist is. I felt watching it. But it was a fine enough movie. I'm not disappointed I watched it, but... you know, if someone brings it up to me in a year's time, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I did see that movie. And that'll be the end of that conversation, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, just forgettable and kind of disappointing. But that's just how things are, man. I want a movie to get me. It's been so long, I feel like, where I've sat down, watched a movie, and I'm like, that was awesome.
Yep. I agree. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah. It's been mediocre, stinker, mediocre, stinker. You know, maybe I think it was the last Academy Awards where it was stacked. It was some good movies. You had 1917. You had Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know. It just like 2019 was a killer year for movies. And then 2020 comes. Man, I know I've said it a lot, but gosh, I think it just sucked all the creativity and passion for making movies out of people.
Right.
Maybe we're on a rebound or something, but fuck The Little Things. Jesus Christ, Denzel.
Like the beginning part of that movie, maybe at least the first 30 and 40 minutes, I feel like it's Denzel Washington. I'm watching him like do like a honey-do list. He's just like walking around places in those like khaki pants and got a shirt tucked in with like a package or usually something in his hands.
Yep.
He's like, I'm going to go to the diner now. Oh, I better swing by the office. Oh, got to go to the morgue for a second. And he just sits and talks with people and like a not really a character. He's progressed to that point where I think, well, first of all, I think he doesn't give a fuck anymore. Hopefully, he saved his money right so he doesn't have to.
Oh, I think Denzel Washington is fine money-wise, Biggie. Come on.
Yeah, I'd say so as well. But it's like, this is probably exactly how he is on just a normal day. Like, he's not putting on a character. He's just, like, chatting. He's like, hey, that check cash? All right, good. Start rolling. And that's about it. That's where he's gone to. Whereas Mr. Robot guy, I think he tried. He did something. He's an odd character guy. Like, he fits in. He looks like a villain, and no matter what he's in, I think he just has that villain face. So you already look at him. And yeah, and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I could trust this guy.
It's a lot of straight edges and buggy eyes.
Right. Exactly. I hate that for him, but I will preface that he is a good actor. He's nothing incredible, but he is good. He's above competent. But yeah, the film just has this weird pacing. And yeah, the best part, you finally get to the very end, and it's like, ooh, wow, this is really cool, but man, I had to go through a lot of shit to get here, and I can't recommend it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could come on this show, you know, after so many months of having like a little break in between these and be like, oh, we watched some cool movies, and I, you know, you guys should see this movie and this movie and this movie, and, you know, write us and talk to us about them. But I can't do it. I don't have any suggestions for people.
Yeah.
I don't have any. I'm sorry, everybody.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a Biggie and Guido shit time happy hour, because right now, every film I've looked at, like, I use a really cool service, and you guys do it. You know, check it out if you're looking for something. It's called letterboxd.com. I just kind of like it. They're like a little private group. It's kind of getting away from like the bigger IMDb ones, but they got some cool social features. Check it out. I'm on there. Just look for me at Biggie Size. You can see what the hell I've been watching. And if you go through my list of films, nothing from this year special has gotten above like a 2.5, maybe a 3 out of 5. The only films that have gotten fives, I finally got around to watching Whiplash.
And, oh, nice.
Oh, man, Whiplash. Holy crap. I felt like such an idiot waited so long. Film came out in 2014.
Yeah.
And I've waited till now to watch it. Megan and I were both just sitting there speechless.
Man, like, that last scene. The last scene. It feels like it goes on forever, but it also feels like it's 20 seconds long.
Agreed.
It's so tense, and you go through so many emotions during just a drum set.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's good fucking writing. Coppola's, watch, you know, take note here. What you do is you build your character from, don't even have to necessarily be the bottom, just have a good starting place and just slowly build them. We don't have to have major spikes where it's like, okay, they're fine. Okay, now you should really love them. I didn't start loving this guy until about the very end scene. Because
he's kind of a dipshit, kind of a shitter.
He's awful, but you're right. That last scene where no one's hardly said a word, but everything came together in a drum solo where not only did he say fuck you to the antagonist, but also just saw that culmination of everything he's done through the whole film come together beautifully. And physically, too, because I don't know how much he's actually playing. I don't know how, you know, cuts and stuff. It's really well shot, but it looks physical, and it's just an incredible scene.
Yeah, I love that movie.
But that's the best film I've seen so far this year. That's it. Nice. Brazil. I watched Brazil. That was really good as well. Check it out if you like Terrence Gilliam. But yeah, it's sad. We had one film Megan was looking forward to. I think you watched it too. Was Woman in the Window?
Woman in the Window. I can't. Oh yeah. That's with Elizabeth Moss, right?
Right.
Is that her name?
No, it's not Elizabeth Moss. Although she could probably have done the role a little bit better. Amy Adams. Thanks, Megan. Amy Adams.
Oh yeah, Amy Adams. Elizabeth Moss. Wow. For some reason, I was picturing Elizabeth Moss in that role. seems sure. like it's catered to her because, you know, it's a struck down woman that's dealing with grief and, you know, mental issues. It's right up her alley.
She's got that market cornered and she's very good at it.
Mm-hmm. Woman in the Window with Amy Adams, man. Amy Adams, I'm off the Amy Adams train, man. After that movie.
Oh, it's disappointing. I can't, I don't know if I can, I could blame her for picking up the film. I'll probably blame her agent for talking her into it. But I think I blame the filmmakers the most. It's just like several of the scenes where they're sitting and talking, at times they're talking over each other. Like, why in the world are you talking over each other constantly? It sounds terrible. The stuff they're talking about sounds terrible. It's almost like at times they're having to improv when they really should not be. Not for a film like this. You don't improv a film like this. It needs to be structured. You know, the conversations need to be, you know, don't have to necessarily be cookie cutter, but they need to get somewhere and you need to be able to tell where they're going. But it felt like a book movie. And it is. It's a book movie, but in every sense of the word, it's, yeah, I can tell how this scene could work really well in a book. But, oh my God, this is really bad here.
Yeah, I just lost interest in it. She was such a unlikable character. She was so unlikable. Everything she did, like her fears and stuff, I didn't feel bad for her or sympathize with her fear of wanting to go outside. So anyway, the movie is about a lady that's afraid to go outside, and she witnesses a murder from across the street, and she's kind of gaslit into believing that it's all in her mind. That kind of story. It's a story you've seen. It's, you know, a million times. But she was just so unlikable. She's crying all the time. You know, the whole female empowerment stuff that should be front and center would never showed up. In fact, to the point where, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, she gets a garden trowel stuck through her cheek and she just lets out this horrible wail. And, you know, there's never a point where she's like the strong woman that's figuring out the case and, you know, she's going to overcome the odds. She basically just falls down a staircase through her way through this murder investigation.
Right. Right. She does not really do anything other than, you know, talk about her innocence and she doesn't do anything active to solve the case. It's basically all solved in front of her. She has no control, which Megan, you know, when we were talking through it, she was saying, this is not like the book. This is a lot more active. And, you know, I know the book apparently deals a lot with, like, you know, inner monologues and things like that. I know that can be a little tricky to do in film without it maybe being a little annoying and just, you know, seeing someone walk around, someone talking over the film. That could get a bit old. But I kind of feel like they probably should have took that risk because you're right. She ends up kind of doing nothing. She goes outside. Even that didn't feel like any kind of like, oh my God, she finally went outside. I'm happy she did it. I'm like, of course she needed to. She had to kick the guy through the window. Great. But yeah, it's a bummer. I hate it for Megan. She's looking forward to it. She said, the book's better. Read the book. Don't watch the movie. That's about it.
Hmm. Okay. Sounds right.
Yeah. Well, have you watched anything else, man?
Oh, man. Everything I watch is, I just forget. Like, I'm sure, I don't know. I'm sure I've watched movies. Like, I forgot I watched that movie that we just talked about until you mentioned it.
Right.
Because there's not anything that stays there. It's disappointing.
I do know one movie. Oh, it is. It definitely is. And this is, I know you watched this one. Cause this was the movie for the beginning of this year I was pumped for. It was Together, Together.
Oh, yeah, I did watch that movie. I forgot about it.
That's understandable. It was a bit disappointing, but not bad. I wouldn't
call it. No, it wasn't bad. It was fine. It was fine. Ed Helms and some lady meet And Ed Helms is a lonely dad or lonely guy who's not married, and he wants to have a surrogate child. And this lady signs up for it and gets paid, you know, an exorbitant amount of money, as surrogates do. And he and her build a very platonic relationship to the point where, and this is the good part of the movie, never while watching it was I like, oh man, I hope they get together. It was more of like, oh, they're just friends and they care about each other. And it'd be even better if they didn't like end up as a romantic couple and they'd stayed close friends. And it kind of delivers on that a bit. You know, you get ups and downs. But, yeah, some kind of cute moments and funny and charming at points. But at the same time, it's, you know, kind of laborious to watch, you know, knowing that you're just watching a real character piece of two people come to terms with the weird situation that they're in, and that's the movie. So like that's great and everything, it's just come on, man.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be like a sad or a downer movie, but if you try to explain it, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's like, oh great, I get to watch some people deal with pregnancy and relationship stuff for 2 hours and then it's not resolved really at the end. Okay, great. But it's actually really good. It's, you know, it's, well, it's good. Ed Helms does a solid job. He's a fine actor with some range. You know, he's fine. The chick is fine. I don't know who, yeah, I agree. I don't know who she is. I think the best part of the movie for me was the guy in the coffee shop that she worked with. I just like some of his lines were just so random, but actually in a funny way. And the way he delivered them was very funny. He was pretty cool. But yeah, you know, if you like Ed Helms and Baby Troubles, check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Oh my
God. That's pretty much it there.
I feel like it's a bummer, man. It's, you know, I wish we had a more fun thing, you know, things to talk about, but hey, maybe someone out there has a movie that they've seen that we haven't that they really, really enjoyed, and they should suggest it to us, because honestly I will watch it right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking for anything to watch.
Yeah, please do. You know, always, we're always wanting to hear correspondence, and please let us know if there's something you want to talk about, and we'll read the email out and then discuss it and tell you how right or wrong you are.
Right. And if it's a movie, if you're like, you guys got to watch about this movie because, you know, and then talk about it. And Biggie will tell me when he gets that email and we will watch it and we will talk about it because we need something to do.
We definitely do. Now, I will say there's a couple of interesting films I've come across that are coming out, I don't know, maybe the next couple of months or so, that I think could be promising. And if I can actually get my list pulled up here, see my watch list, here we go. Coming up pretty soon, there's a new Nicolas Cage movie, so, you know, it could either be really good or really bad. It kind of flips back and forth. It's called Pig.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that. It's pretty interesting, although it looks like, you know, Hollywood opened up the loot box and they got John Wick, but with a Nicolas Cage skin on it, you know?
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Instead of a dog, it's a truffle pig. Instead of Keanu, it's Nick Cage. It's kind of very similar in that sense.
Huh. Interesting. You know, I still have not seen John Wick.
Oh. Well,
I but I get the reference you're talking about, though. I need to sit and watch those. I'll need to put that on my list. It's just never, I don't know, the thing about John Wick, like, I like the action stuff, that's cool. It just looked a little too, too flashy for me. I don't know, there's just something about it just gives me a bad taste. I don't know if it's warranted or not.
as long as you go into it knowing you're going to watch an action movie and watch Keanu Reeves kill a bunch of people in cool ways, then you're good. You're golden. Don't go in expecting anything more than that.
Okay. I see. Well, you sold it to me, explaining it like that. They should have just had you on the trailer.
Yeah. Hey, guys. You like Keanu? Huh? Remember Bill and Ted? Well, he's not a stoner anymore. Well, he could be in his personal life. Anyway, check out this movie where, you know, he shoots a guy with their own gun a few times and, you know, maybe breaks a few arms, rides a horse, and fights against guys on motorcycles with swords. It's pretty cool. There's a dog in it.
Okay. Yay. Man, I'm watching it right now. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, that pig looks kind of cool. I think I'm sort of excited. The another one, I am actually really pumped for the Batman. I think that's coming out this year.
Eventually, probably, yeah.
Yeah, they've pushed it back so many times. It seems I think they already finished filming. They're in post-production right now, or maybe going back to do some reshoots. Who knows? But it seemed like they were pretty close to wrapping up. They just trying to find a good date to, you know, actually film the or you know show the thing. But I'm interested to see what Robert Pattinson does. I think he could play a really good Bruce Wayne Batman character.
Yeah. I think he could too. He's got the acting chops, that's for sure. I mean, Bruce Wayne isn't the hardest acting role. I think it's a pretty easy acting role actually, except for the physicality, but of being Batman, I'm sure he has to train and stuff for that and step in the right places at the right times. But it's not like a really press your character acting abilities role. You know what I mean?
Sure. And we've seen that he can do it. You know, the Devil movie, the devil Inside Me, or The Devil's Over There, whatever it's called. He was really good. He stole that movie, and I did not expect that. He just did an awesome job as this, you know, backcountry preacher who was very much a shady, terrible person. He was great. And, you know, he's shown acting chops in other films before that, but that's the one movie seeing him in, I was like, he's got something. He just needs that one role just to, like, jettison his career and have, like, that classic film of the, you know, the 2020s that, and he's the lead in it. He can do it. It's just whether or not he can get lined up with the right people to get it done.
Yeah.
But
I've got, four movies that I'm looking forward to in July.
Oh, what are they? Tell me. I know one of them, but I want to hear them.
You do know one of them? All right, tell me the one that you know.
I believe it's July. It's The Green Knight.
Yes, The Green Knight. A24 coming with a period dramatic horror movie.
Yeah, looks so good.
It does. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect, really. Just watch the trailer. It looks pretty amazing in terms of, cinematography and all that. And A24 does some good stuff, I suppose, right?
Yep. They've got a pretty decent track record, so I'm feeling good. Dev Patel's a great actor. He's been kind of, you know, in and out in good movies, some not great movies. But that last one he was in, where he played not The Great Gatsby, some show person, apparently was really good. I didn't watch David Copperfield. That's it. Apparently that was really good. So interested to see what he brings to this one.
Yeah, that's one of them. Another one that I want to see, but for the reason that I think it's going to be a train wreck. And I just want to be part of that cultural experience of seeing that bad movie. And that's the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, Old.
Yes, coming out in July. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine it's going to be good.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know. I like the premise.
Yeah, people go to a beach and they get old.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then I feel like the people are like, oh, great, M. Night. And then what? And he just kind of shrugs his shoulders and smiles at him. And, you know, he's like, they get old.
Yeah, that's right. I made 6 cents.
Yeah. that should be fun. Another one, of course, is Black Widow. You know.
Oh.
I'm not stoked, but, you know, going to a theater to watch a Marvel movie, it's been so long. Sign me up.
Okay. I think I'll pass that one.
You're going to pass on Black Widow?
I am. Oh, man. I don't give two shits.
She's dead.
Black Widow. It's just, she's done. This should, I know it's been in development hell or writer's hell, whatever, for so long now. It's kind of amazing it's gotten made, honestly. And I'm impressed by that. But just everything else, the more I see about the film, the more I'm like, I just do not care. I just do not think I could get enough fucks together to give that film. And I hate to say that because she's been a part of that journey through the whole thing. And I've liked her just fine, but I can't. I just don't think I can. Maybe if I get drunk and I can watch it on my computer, whenever it gets released, I might do it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Like, I don't expect it to be. I expect it to be probably one of the, you know, on the lower list of Marvel movies. It's going to be down there. But just that, you know, going out, I think it's going to get people to go back to theaters, which I'm excited for. If it does well, it's a sign that all these movies can come out. And people are willing to go back to theaters. That's what I'm hoping for.
Sure.
It's just a sign. It's a movie that was going to come out, and then the pandemic hit, and then it's been waiting and waiting and waiting. And if it comes out and it makes a decent amount of money, that means it's like a flag. It's a flag. It's safe to go to the theaters again. So that's what I'm hoping for. More than anything, and I will be there to support it. I will go and buy my ticket and buy my big tub of popcorn and 32-ounce Sprite and sit there, munch away, spill it all over the floor, leave with sticky shoes, and be very happy.
You know what? Good for you, man. No, I like it. I like it. Well, I really do hope it brings people out, and I'm sure if any film is going to, it will.
The final movie I'm looking forward to is a movie called Werewolves Within. It's about a little small town backwoods ranger that just, you know, first day of the job, finds out that the, you know, town's kind of inhabited by shape-shifting werewolves. It's a comedy horror and should be pretty fun. That's coming out soon. I don't think I'll go to the theater for that one.
Sure. This looks really neat. I haven't heard of it. Very cool. Yeah, that sounds like a fun time.
So that's July. I got four movies to kind of wet my whistle with. One that I'm very excited for and I think is going to be really good in The Green Knight. One that's going to be really bad and old. And then, you know, the action blockbuster summer movie in Black Widow, and then a fun comedy horror movie. It's like it's hitting all the notes, man. That's great.
It really is. Yeah. No, that's a good mix of films to enjoy in July. No, I'm, you know, at least two of those I'm very excited for, and I'm interested in the werewolves one, and I definitely want to hear your take on Black Widow. You know, see how that is. I kind of wonder, and I don't know if they've said yet if the James Bond movie's coming out in July. I don't know if they've even given another date. I know they're trying to get that one out as early as possible, but they may be waiting for fall. That's kind of the one the action-y movie I'm looking forward to. I want to see kind of how it is. I kind of hate it, though, because I know Daniel Craig, his heart's just not in it. In the last film, you could definitely tell he did not want to be there. and they just gave him a shit zillion dollars to be in this one. So maybe even more of that, but I'm just a huge Bond fan. I just got to go see it. But that, I think in Ghostbusters, really looking forward to it.
Ghostbusters is such a beloved franchise to me.
I know. And I get your apprehension because it's all kids and Paul Rudd. That's a scary combination.
Mm-hmm. All kids and Paul Rudd. That's the name of my coffee shop band.
Oh, nice. I like it.
Open mic's on next Thursday if anyone wants to come. It's just me. I know we're called all kids and Paul Rudd, but it's just me.
So what's your hit song?
It's This Is 40 again.
Oh man, hit me. I remember that song now. Hit me with that beautiful, beautiful chorus.
Oh, okay. It goes, Judd Apatow's worst movie is about 3 hours long, and it's got Paul Rudd, and there's some kids in it too. They're actually Judd Apatow's kids.
I hit some like Dave Matthews Band influence in there in the vocals. I like it.
Yeah, Dave is big for me. I love DMB, you know?
Oh, man. All about that DMB. Well, one other movie I've got to throw out there. I have it saved. I have not watched it yet. I'll probably get to it this weekend. But it's just such a weird casting choice and just film all around for this actor that it just enticed me and I want to watch it. It's called The Space Between. It stars Kelsey Grammer as I think he's supposed to be like a washed out rocker, and he's apparently very eccentric. It's about him kind of living life and going through all these things. And it's just, the premise is just kind of strange that it could really work. Don't know. Next time we talk, I'll give my synopsis of it and how I like it and all that stuff. But it's just so strange. Kelsey Grammer as a rocker. Fascinating.
I like Kelsey Grammer. When was the last time he was in a movie?
Oh, my Lord. Let's take a look. See, I can't think of any. I didn't realize. Oh, I guess I'll do this as a tag. In the Discord, we're always watching movies. And we're currently going through all the X-Men movies. And I did not realize that he played the Beast in the third movie.
Oh, yeah, he did. No, in the first two, too. Didn't he?
Oh, the Beast wasn't in the first two for whatever reason. I don't know what that always shocked me as a kid. Like, where is he?
Yeah, I was never a big Hank McCoy fan.
Sure. He's just such a, I always liked him because he's just such a neat, you know, that duality, you know, basically being like this scary thing, but he's really, really smart. I always thought that was just kind of cool. But he was so, Kelsey Grammer was perfect in it. I just never realized it was him. I really wish he could have been in more of them. Let's see. Cool. The last movie. Oh, my God. All these are so old. Man, none of these seem like they've been within the last, 5 years. He was in Expendables 3?
He was? Was he the villain?
I don't know. Really? He was in I guess I need to watch Expendables 3 now. Okay, here's a massive thing of all the... Oh, yeah, because there's Mel Gibson. But he's not on this image. Wow, he's got to be the villain. I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up. But yeah, check out that
His
movie.
Name is Bonaparte. Kind of, cool. Of course he's the villain.
Oh, okay, of course. Good find. Well, very cool. Well, hey, you know, as we said earlier, if you've got any films that you'd like to share with us, whether it's just, you know, sharing your thoughts or it's like, hey, I want you guys to watch this movie and let me know what you think or some shit. Let us know. Send us an email at justokmovies@gmail.com. Also, feel free to shoot us a tweet at justokmovies. You know, we just love hearing your correspondence or just say hi and we'll say hi back. You know, just as easy.
True.
You know, we love it.
Yeah, all if right. you guys send us stuff, maybe we'll make more of these. More often, yeah. I should say.
we're kind of just like, you want to talk about some movies for a bit? You know, yeah, sure. Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, I just feel, I really do. When you asked me this week, hey, you want to talk about movies? I'm like, I do, Biggie, but I don't really have anything to say.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I mean, you're totally right. Right now, I think we're still in that phase of people just shitting out stuff that they were holding on to. Maybe it was just they didn't know when they wanted to release it, or you know, they're just thankful that the pandemic happened, so maybe they can get some money on streaming. What, I don't know. It just, there's been a glut of crap and nothing with super high quality, as you mentioned, as we saw in the awards and all that. But hopefully it's looking better. As you said, we got some pretty cool ones coming up just next month alone. So maybe that, you know, they'll start getting some energy, maybe. Maybe start seeing those dollar signs and we'll start seeing some better stuff. But, fuck it. Who knows? Well, anyways, hey, hope you all have a good rest of your day, Guido. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Enjoy the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on this, the 258th episode of Just Okay Movies.
Yeah, that sounds right. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye.